This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Three p.m. and time for Game On with Seat Williams. However, I'm Brian Feldman, once again pinch hitting for Seat Williams today here on KBAD, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Game On is also streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Network. And once again, manning the wheel of steel is producer extraordinaire Ari Mizrachi. If you like what you hear today, I'll be back tomorrow. I actually won't be back tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's Saturday. Yeah, like maybe next week or something. I fill in for Seat a decent amount. But, hey, listen, please feel free to check out my show called Out of Line Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the home of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can follow my show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. 1340 AM, easy enough. If you have something to say, turn down your radio and give Ari a call. The NBC Sports Studio line is 702-365-9200. In just a minute here, matter of fact, a few seconds, we'll be joined by Jesse Granger of the Las Vegas Sun. Jesse covers the Vegas Golden Knights. Jesse and I talked a bit after the game last night at T-Mobile Arena, and we'll continue that conversation here and now. What's up, Jesse?
What's going on, Brian?
Hey, man, back from T-Mobile. My first experience, I saw Los Angeles Kings play there when they had the exhibition game, I think, in the spring. I didn't get to go Tuesday night. I hear it was a little more crazy as far as the crowd goes, but I figured that as history was being made. I still thought decent electricity in the air. I've been to a few Red Wings preseason games at Joe Louis Arena, Jesse, and they paled in comparison to last night for me.
Yeah, no, last night was a good atmosphere for a preseason game, for preseason game standards. Like you said, I would say there was probably about half as many people in the building as there were on Tuesday, but, I mean, you can't expect the crowd to stay that way for every preseason game. That was kind of a special occasion.
No, it really was. And a couple of things that I noticed that were really cool. One wasn't beyond cool. It was cold, man. The press box. I will definitely be wearing long sleeves from this point forward. I was waiting for one of the Golden Knights to skate behind me, man. It was cold, okay? And I'm from Detroit, so you can't say, well, hey, man, come on. It's hockey. I know. I played hockey all my life. It was cold in the press box, but I was wearing a short sleeve shirt. Ari, I changed from the suit and tie that I was wearing in here yesterday and put on a polo shirt before I went into the game. What a mistake that was.
I had like three different outfits. That's what it is, because I'm going in and out, so I don't even know what to wear anymore. But it is freezing in there.
Well, you know, and it's amazing because I thought, well, hot air rises, right? Isn't that the rumor? Isn't that the way chemistry rolls? Well, it doesn't rise at T-Mobile Arena. Right. It's like cold air rises, but that's not the only thing that was cool. What I thought was really cool, Jesse, before we get into this with the Golden Knights, I love those 50-50 raffles, and this was a preseason game. And you know what, Ari, I heard the final, Jesse. $14,000 and change to the 50-50 raffle winner. That's kind of cool. I'm going to have to make my way down in between periods and get involved in that.
Yeah, they've got all kinds of in-game entertainment stuff going on. I was pretty impressed. And from what I've been told by Greco, who runs the in-game entertainment, they got him from the WWE. He said that it's really toned down right now. This is probably about one-tenth of what we're going to see in the regular season when we open up on October 10th. So I'm pretty excited to see what they do.
Oh, it's going to be way cool. I mean, it was way cool last night. They're definitely doing right. T-Mobile Arena is an amazing facility. You can tell that architecturally they've gone around to different arenas, taken the best of what they've seen, and implemented it at T-Mobile because it's way cool. But, Jesse, get into the hockey element. You and I were talking as we left the press box and headed downstairs to go do our interviews about, you know, the blue line, man. I mean, the blue line is packed after Sunday at 5 o'clock. It's going to, well, I shouldn't say at 5, but when the game ends, it's going to get a lot less packed as they have to whittle down that roster. But one of the guys that has been of interest to me, of interest in a lot of people, and a lot of talk, has been Shea Theodore. On the way down, I said to you, you know, I think that, you know, Steve Karp said yesterday on this show, oh, man, Theodore's on the team. And I thought, he's kind of on the bubble. What we learned last night, well, first of all, you asked Gerard Gallant that. The last question we were able to get into the press conference came from Jesse Granger. And here's Gerard Gallant. He simply asked him, he said, hey, you know, basically Shea Theodore's on the bubble. Can you elaborate on that a bit? And this is what Gerard Gallant had to say.
I don't know who got him on the bubble, but I think he's played real well. And he's been a good player. And so So now Shea's played real well, and you know he's a good solid player. He's a young player. That's again, he's a talented player, and he's a young player, and he got to get better every game. And I think he's played real well. So like and again, he made some mistakes tonight. He made some mistakes last game, but you're going to see that from young players, and especially young defensemen. And you know we'll live with that, and we just want to keep growing our game defensively and offensively. But I like him. He's got a lot of upside for him for sure.
One of the mistakes that he didn't make was he put the biscuit in the basket yesterday. He got his first goal of the preseason. In four preseason games, he's got a goal, two assists, 3 points. Not too shabby for a defenseman that is quote-unquote on the bubble. And, Jesse, what I learned, and I also listened to Frank's show with Ryan and Clayton a little bit earlier over on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio, they were talking about Theodore. And Ryan, I think, had a really good point. I don't think he's on Gallant's bubble at all. The key is going to be, can Gallant get him off George McPhee's bubble?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Turk was razzing me there. But he said, I don't know who put him on the bubble. I can tell you who. It's George McPhee, your boss. I've been driving the Theodore bandwagon since he became a Golden Knight, and I've been saying he needs to be on the NHL roster from day one. But he's probably the best defenseman, if not maybe the second best defenseman, on the entire roster. The only thing that would keep him off of the NHL roster is the fact that he's waiver exempt, so they can send him to the AHL without a risk of losing him. Gallant doesn't care about that. Gallant wants the six best defenders on the ice every night, and Shea Theodore is one of them. Now, George McPhee, who accrued all these assets through the expansion draft, he's the one that's kind of he's less ready to just give up on one of these guys that he's got for one of these teams.
Yeah, I think George McPhee, the hard thing, Jesse, is kind of what you just alluded to. He doesn't want to admit that some of his picks weren't as good as maybe some of Gerard Gallant's and some of the other brain trusts. You know, there's no need for this guy to play in the AHL anymore. There's nothing more he can do. He bounced back and forth last year between San Diego and Anaheim. That's not too bad when you're just up a highway. Bouncing back and forth from Chicago to Vegas is a three-hour time difference and a pain in the ass. And I don't think you need to put this kid through it. I think he is clearly earned his way onto the roster as one of the seven or eight defensemen that are going to be kept by the Golden Knights. And you could tell, there's no question, Gallant wants him on this team.
Yeah, well, the thing with Theodore is, and this is what I wrote my story last night after the game on LasVegasSun.com, is that Theodore's basically a fourth forward when he's out there. And so is Colin Miller, who scored the other goal last night. And so Nate Schmidt, another defender on the Golden Knights, can be the same thing. And even Jason Garrison, who's one of the best defensive defensemen on the team, is a very offensive-minded guy. And with a team that's competing for a playoff spot or that wants to get every win they can, maybe don't bring Theodore up. Maybe let him have another half season in the AHL and get used to getting back on defense and not giving up those odd man rushes like you saw last night. But when you're in the Golden Knights position, you really don't care if he gives up an odd man rush here or there, because you're not trying to win this season. You're trying to win in a few seasons, and the best thing for that is Shea Theodore, who's going to be your cornerstone defenseman, getting as much NHL experience as he can. He's going to be an offensive weapon. He's going to be a liability on the defensive end sometimes, but just let him learn at the NHL level while nobody really cares right now if you win or lose this season.
Absolutely. The guy needs to grow, and I mean, if you are going to send him back, you said maybe for a couple of months, the thought of a team that's established in the National Hockey League, but in this case, as long as they go to him and go, look, man, it's about a month. We just got to get a few guys to clear waivers. We've got to do a little mixing and matching here, but don't worry. You're definitely a part of the Vegas Golden Knights' future. I know we know that, but I think they need to convey that to him, especially if they are going to route him back to the AHL. Another guy, you know, that I really liked, and he was talked about, you know, in the post game. The guy is explosive, and boy, does he have a nose for the puck. And I'm talking about Riley Smith. Two breakaways on shorthanded opportunities. The problem is the guy's got to learn how to finish.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem for the Golden Knights all year long. I mean, they've got a good depth of talent on this team because they had better selections than any expansion team ever, but they don't have any superstar scorers. Even terrible teams like Colorado Avalanche were dead last year. They've got guys like McKinnon and Duchesne who can put the puck in the net. The Golden Knights really don't have any of those guys. I mean, Marchessault could become one, but it's, I feel like that's going to be a theme all year long, is this team just can't finish around the net. And it's not their fault. It's just the way an expansion team, it's the way that it's designed, is they just don't have those guys.
No, they don't. And one of the guys they do have, and we all know, is going to have to step up big time, play better than he did last night, although I'm not faulting him. First time playing at T-Mobile Arena. But, of course, that's our last line of defense. Goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury, not real great last night. I know Gallant talked about in the postgame how one went off the skate. One was unstoppable by any goaltender in the league. But two of them, I think, were savable, and those are saves that are going to have to be made if the Golden Knights are going to be competitive this season.
Yeah, and I was the one that asked that question and wanted to see if he wanted to get Fleury in there in net for the final preseason game to kind of just sharpen him up a little bit, and he will be playing on Sunday. Fleury, like, there are some guys that I get worried when they struggle in preseason, like Vadim Shipachov, for example, if he has a really bad game, because he's so new and we don't really know him. Fleury's one of those guys, if he has a bad preseason game, I'm not really worried. It's preseason. The dude's been to four Stanley Cups. He's won three of them. I'm not really worried if Fleury has a bad game here or there in the preseason. He'll be ready once the regular season comes.
Now, this is a three-time Stanley Cup champion. Granted, last season, wasn't really the goaltender going in, got to play more than we thought, but this guy is a proven winner, and I'm right there with you. I'll be fine. And speaking of Vadim Shipachov, Ryan, our hockey guy, got thrown under the bus a little bit yesterday by the coach when he asked him, and he said, hey, Shipachov looked to be the best guy in the ice, and the coach basically said, what game were you watching without saying that? But you know what? I didn't disagree with Ryan. I thought that was his best game of the preseason so far.
Oh, it was definitely his best game, but I'm with Gallant in that he was the best player on the ice. I mean, Shipachov is, he just needs to get used to this game. I mean, he hasn't been, everyone's been giving him a hard time because he's not shooting the puck, including me. He just won't shoot it. He refuses to. But he can shoot the puck. He led the KHL over in Russia in goals last year. The dude can shoot the puck. He just needs to kind of get his feet under him. And I asked him the other day in the locker room through a translator because he speaks basically no English. But I asked him, what's the hardest part about getting used to the NHL game? And he said, it's not the hockey. I'm living in a whole different country. So I want to see what happens with him later in the year once he kind of calms down and gets used to his situation over here. He's a really good playmaker. He's shown that he's got good vision on the ice. He sees things that other players don't see already, even without being acclimated. And I think once he gets acclimated, he's going to be a real playmaker. He's not going to score many goals, though.
Well, you put it this way. There is no question that at least for the foreseeable future, Vadim Shipachov is going to be one of the staples of the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, Ryan, I got to put you to this. Real quickly before I do that, I want to tell you, it's funny because I interviewed, I got a chance. Well, you saw that you were standing next to me for a second. I got to talk to Marc-Andre Fleury. And the thing was, I'd already gotten a bunch of tape on him in the game. And, you know, guys like him, like you said, you know, this will roll right off his back. This isn't going to affect him at all. And I wanted to get some stuff for our segment that we're going to do here in a minute on, you know, just Marc-Andre Fleury. That was pretty cool. What is he like about Vegas? And I know it wasn't the best time to ask him those questions, but then again, why be repetitive and ask the same questions everybody else is asking him? You know, it gets the redundancy bothers the hell out of me. One of my best friends played in the National Football League for 7 years. He said he used to love when a reporter would come up and ask him what he had for lunch after a lousy game because he got done, you know, he just got done answering the same question 15 times about why he had a lousy game. So I thought, you know, and actually Eric came up to me and was like, hey, man, ask those questions at practice, not at the thing. But there's a method in my madness. I'm going to play the interview I did with him in a few minutes. And also something Barry Melrose said about buying jerseys, which was part of the reason for my conversation with Marc-Andre Fleury, just in case you're listening, Eric. And besides that, Jesse, what I wanted to say is it is time to put you on the spot. You have been covering this team. Definitely check out Jesse's articles online, and I'll let you give all your information, Jesse, with the Las Vegas Sun. It's great. If you want to know intricate details about the Golden Knights and somebody who definitely knows hockey, check the guy out. He will get you acclimated. Jesse, here it is, man. Who is going to be on the blue line for the Vegas Golden Knights after Sunday? Give me the defenseman.
I think it ends up being I think Theodore makes the team. So you've got Jason Garrison, Braden McNabb, Derek Englund. Those guys are locks. Nate Schmidt, he's a lock. I think Shea Theodore, who's one of those guys that's in question, is going to end up being up there. And I think they're going to send down guys like Luca Spezza, who hasn't had a good preseason. The reason they don't want to send him down is because they're afraid they might get claimed on waivers. But I actually don't think they're even going to get claimed on waivers. And I wouldn't be surprised if a defenseman gets traded before October 3rd, which is the cut date. So look for McPhee to make a trade and trade a defenseman and kind of open up a little spot to bring Theodore up, because I think Gallant is really pushing for him, and I think Theodore has proven he belongs on the team.
I like it. I'm almost in complete agreement with you. I like what he says. How much do you think weights on Sunday's game for a couple of these guys that are on the bubble?
I don't think too much. I mean, if they have an absolutely horrendous game, it could. But, I mean, like Kay Theodore, for example, the dude, he had 6 points in the playoffs last year for the Ducks. He's proven that he's one of the best elite defensive prospects in the NHL. I don't think one game is going to sway McPhee's choice one way or the other.
Again, we're in total agreement. I just had this conversation early this morning at my other office, and I'm like, look, man, the coach's decision was probably made for the most part before even last night's game. Last night's game might have definitely boded well for a guy like Shea Theodore, but for the most part, and you know, it's funny because when you asked the question about Theodore, I was about to raise my hand and ask one more question. Okay, now that you've said, who's got him on the bubble, coach? Well, who do you have on the bubble, coach? You know, I was going to ask him, who do you got going? But I thought, you know what? He already knows these things. No need to know. We'll all find out in a couple days from right now. Hey, Jesse, I appreciate it. Please let everyone know how they can find Jesse Granger and learn about the National Hockey League. If you don't know, this is a good guy to follow, man.
Yeah, go on LasVegasSun.com. We've got a Golden Knights landing page on there at the top. Click on that. We have stuff pretty much every day. I've got a new story up there. And also follow me on Twitter at @JesseGranger_. I tweet out all my stories, plus news and press conference quotes and everything, videos from practice, everything you can want.
No question about it. All during the game, too, I was checking out yours. Like I said, I think I tweeted like two or three times, once about being cold and once about somebody winning over $14,000 in the 50-50, which I thought was cool. Jesse, we will talk to you soon. I might even be bugging you to come on the show on Sunday before the game, because it's the last preseason game, and I got to talk about it on Out of Line. Appreciate you, my friend.
Sounds good. See you then.
Jesse Granger, Las Vegas Sun. I'm Brian Feldman. We've got Ari Mizrachi behind the wheels of steel back there turning all the dials and watching the breaking news. We just saw some breaking news, didn't we, a minute ago, Ari? Did you see that on the screen there about Louisville?
Louisville's
got an interim head coach, man. They just announced it. It is going to be David Paget. He's been with Rick Pitino before. This is a story that is a story that is a story. And I'll tell you, we got to talk about Rick Pitino also, man, a major league hit in the National Football League. And I'm not talking about like a hit record. I'm talking about somebody that might need to go for a while. At first, I didn't think so. I'll tell you about that as well. And D. Wade, man, yesterday, his first practice in Cleveland with the Cavaliers. LeBron James turns an ankle, all that and more here on Game On. This is K-Bad. 920 The Game.
Now back to Game On. Seat Williams. Seat Williams. Seat Williams.
Love the players yet, okay? Wait 3 or 4 years before you fall in love with the players. Fall in love with these first draft picks that'll happen at the amateur draft that's coming up next week. Those are the guys to fall in love with, because those are the guys who are going to be there for a long period of time. As I mentioned, Fleury might be gone at the deadline. James Neal could be gone at the deadline. Any of these older players could be gone at the deadline, because all it is now is how do we make our team the best possible team it can be in 3 or 4 years. And that is draft picks, draft picks, draft picks, trade for young players, trade for young players, trade for young players. So that's all Vegas is going to want. So wait a couple years before you buy that jersey that says your favorite player's name on it, because it'll be absolutely really quick in Nashville. So just have patience, pick the right guy, make sure he's there for 10 years.
Well, that actually prompted, and by the way, welcome back to Game On. I'm Brian Feldman. I got Ari Mizrachi behind the wheels of steel, and I want to thank Jesse Granger again for joining the show. And the reason that you heard Barry Melrose there, and I played that, was kind of what I was talking to Jesse Granger about a bit ago. That was said right after the expansion draft, after we had gotten Marc-Andre Fleury, and Barry Melrose is basically saying, look, don't go buy a jersey of your favorite player like a James Neal or a Marc-Andre Fleury for one simple reason. They might not be here very long, and he was saying he is going to potentially be gone at the trading deadline because he might have an opportunity to go to a team that could potentially win another Stanley Cup that is in need of a goaltender, a backup goalie. And so that was part of the reasoning of my questioning to him last night, because Melrose recently reiterated the same thing. So I got a chance to talk to Marc-Andre Fleury, and instead of, you know, talk a little bit about the game, but like I said, these guys are getting hammered about the same thing. It's a preseason game. I wanted to hear about about Marc-Andre Fleury, what he thought of Las Vegas, how he likes being here, and I thought that was pretty apropos questioning at the time.
Marc-Andre Fleury, first game between the pipes, and while maybe not the best result for you, but how did it feel getting back in there in your first game playing actually for the Vegas Golden Knights?
I played actually like a few days back in Hanoi. Right?
I mean, I'm talking about T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, T-Mobile. Definitely disappointing to lose that first one. I'm glad though I got to play here, see what it's like. The atmosphere was fun. A lot of people again, you know, for preseason games, so looking forward to our season here.
Your name got announced and it got awful loud in here. It's a preseason game. You got to be used to it in Pittsburgh. Do you see this kind of a crowd in a preseason game?
Yeah, I know. It was, we didn't really know what to expect, and it's awesome. Awesome that so many people show up, you know, turn out to the game, just for, like you said, for preseason, and it makes the game so much more fun.
Talk about the atmosphere here in Las Vegas. You know, hockey town, Las Vegas, who would have ever thought that, right?
I know. But I think it is, though. Like, it feels like everywhere I've been, people are excited about the team, you know, about having a hockey team here. And we see a lot of T-shirts, a lot of hats, you know, with a logo on around town. So it's pretty cool. Fun to be here.
You've been a Vegas Golden Knight for a little bit now, so you've spent some time in Las Vegas. What do you like best about this city so far?
I really like my neighborhood, you know, how quiet it is and how nice it is. You know, something you don't expect from, you know, if you haven't been to Vegas, really. And I find there's so much to do, so many good restaurants, so many places to do for kids, you know. I think it's good schools. So everything's good about it.
You mentioned restaurants. What's your favorite place to eat so far here?
I don't know. I haven't been around yet to give an answer. Maybe later in the season we'll talk again. Okay. Once I've been around, you know.
What about Derek Engler? A lot of people going to him for, like, where to live, where to eat, what shows to see. He's been here a while.
I know. He's been like your concierge, you know, for a team. Just help us out, you know, to get situated, to get things for the house or get a house. You know, so he's been great. You know, it's been great to us since this summer. We've been in touch with him, you know, to help us out. So it's been awesome.
Well, I got to ask, I heard from Barry Melrose, and he keeps saying, don't go out and get jerseys right away. Marc-Andre Fleury could end up gone by the trading deadline and stuff. You sound like you're looking to get a house. Everyone wants to know, are you going to be here for a while, do you think?
Yeah, I got a house. I'm settled in, you know. I think that's, I've been moving. It's not the most fun thing to do. So, you know, like so far, I really like what we see from our team, from our, you know, coaching staff, and from the fans, from the facilities are awesome. And also, you know, we just need to win some games now.
You've played for some pretty good coaches in your career. What do you think of Gerard Gallant? What do you like most about his coaching style?
Yeah, he's good. You know, he's a guy that has been through it. He's seen it a lot, and he's got a lot of experience. I think he's pretty simple, straight to the point, and I think that he has respect for the players, and players respect him. And you know, if you give your best effort, you'll be happy.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
I'm buying his jersey, man. That's it, Ari. I'm buying the guy's jersey. I said I got to get a Golden Knights jersey. Everyone's like, you know, you should just buy a generic one without a name and number on it. But this is an inaugural season of the first Major League professional sports franchise in Las Vegas. What do you think, man? It's worth getting a jersey, and I think why not get one of the inaugural players?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, I'm more of a hoodie guy myself, but then again, that's because I'm still kind of getting acclimated to hockey. But yeah, definitely, it's history. I mean, it's just something. Even if I was, you know, a Kings fan or something, whoever else, you know, it's a Vegas thing. I would want it, yeah.
It is. Okay. And something else that's made history, kind of in a negative way, we've been talking about for a couple of days now, the Rick Pitino thing in Louisville, man. It's really repulsive. Yeah. Ari, the more I talk about it, the more sick I get. They are finding out more and more things about this guy as time goes on, and it is really sounding like everything that we're hearing is the real deal. I mean, Rick Pitino has now been identified as the coach in court records alleged to have played a role in getting money to a recruit in the federal fraud and corruption case, a case that led to 10 arrests on Tuesday. A former sports agent charged in the case told the witness he helped fund $100,000 to the family of recruit Brian Bowen at the request of the coach. The coach is confirmed to be Rick Pitino. According to court documents, Adidas executive Jim Gatto, who was among the 10 arrested, spoke with a coach multiple times before Bowen publicly committed to Louisville. Pitino's attorney, Steve Pence, of course, says that the conversations between Adidas and the coach Pitino are mere speculation and are false at this time. I don't think that we're going to find out that they were false, man. This is absolutely repulsive. And I'll tell you what, a coach that totally agrees with that, and you could tell he's as done with Pitino as anybody, man. You just don't lie. Once you're accused and you're caught, admit to it. And this coach, who you'll recognize, UNLV football team played against him last week. It's a different sport, but the same concept.
You know, I always believe if you willful and intentionally violate our law to our rule, or you lie to the NCAA, you can never coach again. And to this day, I still believe that. I'm not talking about the mistakes made, but if you intentionally pay a guy money, or if you intentionally willfully have a second cell phone that you're using illegal phone calls, you're done. You can never, ever coach again. It's no different than a student-athlete. If a student-athlete lies to the NCAA, they're finished. So you're telling me a 50-year-old man's got more rights than a 18-year-old student-athlete. Who comes up with that? You know, if you will, once again, if you intentionally lie about committing violations, your career's over. You don't suspend it for two games. You're not, you know, some of the silly penalties you have. You can't talk to recruit for a week and a half or something like that. No, you're finished. And that'll clean up some things.
Well, it will clean up some things. I mean, Rick Pitino should be finished. I can't imagine this guy coaching again. He's going to be considered somewhat of a pariah now. Third strike, you know, it'd been a few years since 2009 when they had the extortion situation with Rick Pitino and the trainer's wife who he was having sex with, what have you, that extorted some money out of him. She went to jail. Then, of course, this past June, the sex for play incident that happened with one of his assistants, and now this, he's done. It's a shame, man. A storied career that is going to go down the tubes. And there's nothing more they can say about it. Again, he has been replaced. They've got an interim coach now at Louisville. And it's just a sad all-around story, man. Another legend in the coaching industry that is going to, from this point forward, wear a scarlet letter. So that's something that college basketball is going to have to deal with. I'll tell you, I'm sick about it, man. I am sick about coaches that have to do this. I mean, what is it becoming? The bottom line is, you know how you get rid of all this garbage and this crap? It's real simple. Pay the college athletes. The universities make so damn much money. Athletic directors are walking around with million-dollar salaries, partially being paid by the sale of their star quarterback's jersey. And their star quarterback's driving a 1986 Pinto around campus and has to have his girlfriend pay for their meal. I mean, obviously it's not that bad, but come on. It is time to stipend collegiate athletes. So, you know, until that is done, I don't know how we are going to have how things are going to change in college sports. This is going to continue. When an 18-year-old kid sees his jersey on tons of people sitting in the stands, the wheels start turning. I want some of that money. Then he goes to the bookstore and sees that his jersey's selling for $75, $125 bucks a pop, and he's looking at his bank account. Matter of fact, he probably doesn't even have a bank account.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah, college is an easy period. I mean, these guys have even more things to worry about. So, I mean, yeah, and I'm not saying pay them, you know, I think just pay them a reasonable, some kind of a, and even if it's not a direct, you know, like a salary so much as just a, you know, some kind of an allowance almost.
Well, the big issue, Ari, has always been, how do you pay them? Where do you draw the line? If you're paying men, you got to pay women. There are two sports that bring colleges tremendous revenue. That's it. College football and men's basketball. Yep. Those are the two sports that generate a great deal of revenue. So the bottom line is there's got to be a way you can get a governing body to say, look, to the rest of sports, you're getting a scholarship. You're getting room and board and your meals for free. That's your pay. Now, the football team is the reason we have a new library. We have a new administrative building. Matter of fact, we have one of the best athletic directors in the country because of what the football team does, or because of what the basketball team does. That is why you have to stipend those athletes. Figure out a way. Maybe make it where if you're a starter, you get a little bit more than if you're not, to incentivize the other guys to be starters. You have a certain tier levels. I don't know how to do it. I'm not one. I'm just saying, we have been dealing with this problem for years. Johnny Manziel a couple of years ago gets $10,000 for signing footballs. You know,
way further back than that. I mean, this
it's been going on for years.
Kid, yeah.
And my point again is, look. This will stop happening if these guys are paid. Because the bottom line is, when it happens after these guys get paid, when a guy gets greedy, then you can really throw the book at him. You can make the sanctions much stricter. So now if you get caught, hey, we're paying you, you best not do anything above and beyond what you're paying you.
Reactive.
You're still going to have those types of people that will do that, but not necessarily on a regular basis. And I think you would see it greatly curtailed over the course of time. Listen, let's take our last break right here. We'll come back. We're going to try to get a hold of Mark Anderson. I want to talk a little bit UNLV football. I got a nice interview with Armani Rogers Tuesday after the press conference as they take to the field back at Sam Boyd Stadium for the first time in 28 days tomorrow to take on Nemesis, man. San Jose State has been a thorn in their ass for years, and this is a good opportunity. I think they definitely have a better team than San Jose State. They're favored, and I believe UNLV will come out of this and be 2-2 after tomorrow night's game. We'll take a break. We'll be back. You are listening to Game on KBAD. 9:20 the game.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Game On, Brian Feldman, Ari Mizrahi, and we have Mark Anderson from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Beat writer covers UNLV football and UNLV men's basketball. Mark, what's going on, brother? You were out at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway this morning.
No, that was not me, Brian.
That wasn't
my
you?
Wife was there, but not me.
Oh, okay. Well, she was tweeting out. I thought she was tweeting out as you.
No, I was retweeting her stuff. Basically.
Oh, you were retweeting. Okay, now I got it. It was your wife. Okay,
yeah.
Now I'm because I don't know why you said you had an interview today or something. So I thought, man, you didn't tell me it was out at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
No, but I just left UNLV and interviewed UNLV. So.
Okay, well, good deal. Well, speaking of UNLV, that's the road we're going down right now. They come back from that loss at Ohio State. I keep telling everyone, when I'm like, God almighty, that was such a beatdown. I don't know. Maybe I saw a different game. It was nothing less than I expected. And as a matter of fact, I was actually slightly impressed with their performance last week.
Second half, maybe, yeah. I mean, the first half was 44-7. I mean, I don't know.
They couldn't do anything against the first team, but
yeah.
Ohio State's second team is still better than probably most teams in the Mountain West.
That's very true. And, you know, and Lexington got off that 55-yard run. You know, they did some that. They outscored Ohio State second half 14-10, which is pretty phenomenal when you think about it. Defense made a couple key plays. Forced three turnovers. So, I mean, yeah, there are some positives to build on it. I mean, I didn't really take a whole lot away from that game, either good or bad. To me, that game was always going to be one-sided. And, you know, if you know we could divert without, you know, some major injuries, which they really didn't have, you know, I think it kind of came out as a win for them. But that game was always going to be just, you know, you just had to kind of get through it and move on to the real season.
Well, like Coach Sanchez said a week ago in the press conference, they had 1.3 million reasons to play that game. And that makes sense. Although the football team doesn't see that money, it still made sense for the university. But, Mark, I disagree a little bit. What I took out of that game is I did not see Armani Rogers, which I expected a little bit, looking kind of like a deer in headlights. I never really saw that. He couldn't get anything going in the first half. The Ohio State's defense was relentless. In the trenches, UNLV didn't stand a chance. But he really didn't look scared or rattled or bothered.
No, he didn't. He's poised. I mean, he's been poised all season. I think he's a very confident player. I don't think he's cocky necessarily. I just think he's confident. And not a whole lot seemed to faze him. You know, I think he just believes that he can get the job done. He was highly recruited for a reason, so I think he knows that. I know that he knows he has the ability, and he just thinks that he can measure up whatever the situation is. And obviously, you got to have that in the quarterback because not all quarterbacks are there.
Well, yeah, and also the stature, 6'5", 225. I mean, that's there's not a university in the country that wouldn't love having a quarterback with athleticism, 6'5", 225. And I think Armani would probably make almost any roster. I don't know how much he'd play, but, I mean, he's definitely a D1 prospect for sure. And it's nice to see him here in UNLV. And I think, you know, if he stays here and things go well, the guy doesn't get hurt, how good can he be in 4 years?
Oh, he could be one of the best ever played, you know. You know, obviously Randall Cunningham is the standard right now, and it's hard to imagine just someone reaching that level. And it's a little too early to say that Armani Rogers will get there, but you know, I can at least see him getting in the neighborhood. There really hasn't been a quarterback like Randall Cunningham's, UNLV other than him. So, you know, maybe Armani Rogers would be that guy. He certainly has shown a lot of promise already. You know, he can run with the ball, as you've seen. He's got a cannon of an arm. He seems to make pretty good decisions. Every once in a while, you know, he'll make a poor decision, but every quarterback does. But I haven't seen anything really egregious from his decision making. I haven't really seen him force a lot of balls. I think he's made a lot of really smart decisions, and that's half the battle when it comes to quarterback.
I agree 100%. I think this Saturday will be a telltale sign to see what we can expect going forward, at least this redshirt freshman year of his. And speaking of Saturday, tomorrow night, they go against a nemesis of theirs, just always, as I mentioned before the break, a thorn in UNLV's backside for a long time now. But this, to me, is the best opportunity they've had in a while to take it to San Jose State.
Yeah, I actually have a pretty good feeling that UNLV's going to win fairly easily. I mean, that line been fed up to, I think, 9 or 10 to 14. But, yeah, so the pros in town really think that UNLV's going to win this game and win fairly easily. San Jose State's defense has been on the field for 441 plays, which is by far the highest number in the country. You got to figure it's going to catch up to them. Their defense hasn't been stopping anyone recently. UNLV's offense is really good. So I think you know he's going to get a lot of yards on the ground, really establish the ground game, and now open things up for Armani. And I just think they're going to be able to move the ball on him all night.
Agree 100%. I talked to Armani a bit in the press conference. We'll hear that interview in a minute. And, you know, he said that they're preparing that San Jose blitzes a lot, but you got to have great players to make blitzes successful. You can blitz all you want. It's not going to work unless you have the players and the all-around defense to take care of it. So I don't know how much that's going to work. What do you expect? So you said you expect to see a lot of Lexington Thomas opening up the game for Armani Rogers. What about on the defensive side of the ball? The defense played well at Idaho, you can say that. You really can't. As you said, you kind of got to throw out the Ohio State game, although they did have some nice plays in the second half. What do you expect to see in a defense against an offense that's been pretty much inept this year?
Well, the defense is always the question mark. You know, the offense has to score a lot of points almost by design because they're just going to have to win shootouts, and this may be one of those games. I don't know that San Jose State's necessarily going to put UNLV in a shootout, but I think San Jose State will be able to move the ball on the Rebels and score some points. So at least early on, I can see the game get away in the second half from San Jose State. I think early on, I think San Jose State will have some success because it seems like they always do against UNLV. UNLV's defense, I still think isn't quite where it needs to be, where you can really depend on it. Now, maybe they'll be proved wrong tomorrow and they'll come out and play a really good game, but I guess it's one of those things I have to see it before I really believe it with UNLV's defense.
Well, UNLV, we talked about offense, defense, special teams gave up a touchdown against Ohio State. Again, you can't really slap them for that. But one thing on special teams is a concern is Evan Pantels hurt in the Ohio State game. The kid that came in, I can't remember his name, Nick something, came in to kick late in the game. Man, it kind of scared me. I mean, Pantels is a pretty solid kicker. How's he doing?
Well, we'll find out. If he gets the full game or not, Pantels may be back. Pantels is questionable, and it sounded like from what Tony Santos was saying that he could go either way. If he does, he's not okay. You know, it seems like the backup's not bad. You know, but so I, you know, you would hope that this game it wouldn't come down to a field goal anyway.
Yeah, well, where's Nikolai Bordon when we need him? Gone, graduated. Hey, Mark, we appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow night. That is Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Check him out. And, Mark, before I go, just hypothetically, what's going to be the headline in Sunday's paper about UNLV football?
Probably something like UNLV wears down San Jose State is my guess. I just think by the second half, San Jose State defense is going to be just really, really tired.
You got it. You heard it here first. I'm looking forward to the headline. Mark, we appreciate you. I'll see you tomorrow night at the game.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. Take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, I talked to Armani Rogers after the press conference on Tuesday. Pretty good conversation, and I really like this kid. I think we are looking at a future star at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Okay, Armani, you got that Ohio State game behind you, the three preseason games, so to speak, behind you. They count, but like Coach says, you guys say it's 0-0 right now. How are you feeling about that?
So it's great to go in a conference 0-0 and everybody has the same record, so you can't look at somebody else's record and see that defines you. Now it's a conference game. This is where it really matters at right now.
Well, we talked about it a second ago, this streak. A lot of the players weren't even born the last time UNLV beat San Jose State. This is a different UNLV team and a different San Jose State team. The games are traditionally very close. What have you learned about yourself, and how are you prepared for the San Jose State team?
Just prepared. They blitz a lot. So I have to be prepared to pick up blitzes, know certain checks that we have to go into blitzes, and just go in there mentally tough right now. And just stay focused.
You played number 9, number 10 in the country, Ohio State. We talked about that. What did you learn about this team in that game in particular? Because, as you even mentioned, the speed and the athleticism of Ohio State is off the chart compared to a lot of the teams you'll face.
Just being able to make quicker decisions and get the ball out of my hand as quick as I can. And not so much of think, but react. And when you get caught thinking, it slows down the process. But when you're out there just having fun and reacting to it, you just go out there and you just let the ball rip, and it's a pass play.
Talk about the skilled positions on the offense yourself. You know, we talked about Lexington Thomas. He really seemed to get some space in the second half. And, of course, Devontae Boyd leading the country in yards per reception. Both those guys are up there in specific categories. That's got to really help you out and give you confidence as a quarterback.
Yeah, being able to run the ball down people's throat and being able to air the ball out and have a trustworthy receiver over there, Devontae Boyd, being able to throw it up to him, he comes down with it. Even with Brandon Presley, Darren Woods, Kendall Keys, everybody plays a factor into what we're doing. It's not just, I wouldn't say that Lex is making a standout for the running game. Well, he's doing a phenomenal job, don't get me wrong. But then Devontae, it's just a circle, and everybody's contributing to help the team win.
Did you guys reestablish goals after the three games? Sit down now and say, okay, we're into conference play 0-0. And have you reestablished goals? And if so, what are those?
It's the same goals. Same goals from the beginning of the season. Now we have to just obtain them and finish them.
What is the best thing about this UNLV team? And what is the thing you feel could most improve?
The best thing, our ability to run the ball. And when being able to run the ball, it helps us be able to pass the ball a lot more. And things we need to improve. I can't think right now.
That's okay. Hey, it's better to not be able to think of things to prove it. Okay, so now you come into the conference play. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to get to a bowl game this year, win more games than you have in the previous seasons. You, as the quarterback right now, you've got three games in. Are you seeing Coach Sanchez more and more, giving you more and more freedom as the games go by?
Yeah, you just getting a little bit more freedom, and that comes with them being able to trust me and going out there, practicing, proving them that I can handle certain situations. And then with being able to handle situations in practice, they'll be able to trust you in the game.
How often are you allowed to, or do you audible?
Just depends on the play. Certain plays, I'm allowed to audible. Certain plays, it's just let it run.
Your personally improvement, where have you seen the most growth in Armani Rogers heading into game 4?
Reading defenses. I feel like I picked up being able to read defenses a lot better. And with that being, a main thing as a quarterback. I'm able to get the ball out faster, and that's why on Ohio State some of the balls are coming out way faster, even though they had a lot of speed. But since I know where what they're going to do, I know where I can put the ball at.
The last time you played at Sam Boyd Stadium, almost a month ago, surprising that far in between games, and I know you left with a sour taste in your mouth when you left Sam Boyd Stadium, along with the fans. Are you excited to get back here and redeem that last time we've seen you here at Sam Boyd?
Of course, we're ready to redeem ourselves and get a victory back at our home.
What can we expect to see from you guys the rest of the way down the road?
Just a team that's going to go out there and keep fighting, and we're going to finish no matter what.
I appreciate that.
Armani Rodgers, quarterback, UNLV. I'll tell you, this guy is going to be good, Ari. He's the real deal. I like him. I think that if he stays healthy 4 years down the road, UNLV will definitely be competing for the Mountain West Crown, a bowl game, the whole nine yards. We might even get to see him play in the Las Vegas Bowl before this guy's career is done. The best quarterback to ever play at UNLV, as Mark Anderson alluded to, man, it's going to be awful hard to displace Randall Cunningham as that guy. But, man, he looks a little bit like Randall Cunningham, 6'5", 225, imposing, very athletic, and a rifle of an arm, man. He's good. So, listen, real quickly, we don't have much time left, and one thing I do want to talk about is that Chicago Bears hit last night. Danny Trevathan, man, the spearing hit on Davante Adams. At first, I didn't think that it was that bad until I watched it over and over again, and it was at the end, watching him kind of smug in the locker room. I'll tell you right now, this guy needs the book thrown at him. He really does. This one of the most devastating hits I've ever seen in my entire life as far as a guy standing up. It's funny because Keyshawn Johnson said, you know, he didn't think he should be immediately expelled from the game, that he's just making a play. And I don't think he meant to hit him like he did, but you could see the satisfaction in Trevathan's face after the game. Even though he tried to play it off like we're worried this, you could just see it was kind of smug when he showed how his head went backward and the mouth guard went flat. He was pretty excited about it. After the game, he was asked about Aaron Rodgers. He was asked about what he talked about with Aaron Rodgers, and you could tell he lied because Aaron Rodgers and Martellus Bennett said something completely different than Trevathan said. And this is what Trevathan said, and then you'll hear Aaron Rodgers and Martellus Bennett afterwards. Oh, no? Okay, hold on 1 second. Ari's getting that for us.
You really have to look at this game for what it was. Not highly productive on offense from a yardage standpoint. Obviously, we scored 5 for 5 in the red zone. It was fantastic, but this was a defensive dominated game for us. Really proud of those guys. 4 turnovers was huge. Us not turning the ball over obviously helped, but the defense was fantastic.
When you talked to Aaron Rodgers after the hit, what was that conversation like?
It was just me and him talking. You know, he was like, you know, that happens when you're just one of the hardest hitters in the NFL. He said, you know, stuff happened, man. He said he didn't want to see his guy go down. You know, I said the same thing. I never want to see that happen to anybody, especially in our profession. We're all brothers, but, you know, I'm trying to win the game.
I don't like anybody celebrating when a guy gets carted off the field. That's kind of the message I was saying to them.
Well, we thought it was that he was celebrating with that play. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get your ass kicked, you know, you take a deep shot, and you celebrate when a guy goes down. So that's what really pissed us off.
That was Martellus Bennett. You heard Aaron Rodgers before that. The first take was Aaron Rodgers about winning the game last night. And he is a one-man show for the Green Bay Packers. They're not as good as he is. And I really hope that we find out that Trevathan gets the book thrown at him. Hey, we're out of time. This is Game On. I'm Brian Feldman. Want to thank Ari Mizrahi. Want to thank Mark Anderson. Want to thank Jesse Granger. Seat will be back on Monday, same time, same place, right here on KBAD 920. The Game. I'm Brian Feldman again. Check out Out of Line Sunday morning, 8 to 9 on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio. We'll see you later.